Well, good evening. Thank you very much for coming tonight. It's really excited. Every time I watch this film, that's the university you're going to start. And actually, a week and a half from now, we're going to have a group of engineers and architects coming from America to basically start to give us a complete site plan. And hopefully by March, there's another team of engineers and architects is coming, and we're going to break ground and start building the first building. This has been a long coming for us in Cambodia. You know, I'm a small little guy, but I have a big dream. Zaho Wei have a big dream, and I'm really a strong believer in Christ that He's going to supply all of the need. A lot of people are asking me, well, how much money you have in the bank? We had zero in the bank, but some of the stuff that you saw on the film there. Actually, we have zero money in the bank, but you see there's some building coming up, but start with a little at a time. Our philosophy of ministry is that we will use anything that God is giving us to do what is required to be done. We don't wait for what we don't have. So we use what we have to serve the Lord as it is. So we don't wait around. So those are pretty excited stuff. Actually, you know, anytime you want to do God's work, and enemy Satan is also planning to attack as well. So I've been up in the last several nights talking to my staff and my wife in Cambodia, because it's a daytime over there and a nighttime here, including last night. So I have very little sleep. But nevertheless, you know, the government has tried to give us some trouble because we are getting closer to the time of building this. And so there's always problem here, problem there. There's a little paperwork that didn't sound right. So they want us, actually, it's just anything they can do to basically slow us down, they will. But we're not going to do that. We're not going to basically wait upon them. Basically wait upon the Lord. So tonight I was really, thanks Kevin for allowing me to share tonight. It's a Bible study time, but I'm not really leading the Bible study tonight. I'm going to use the Bible, as a matter of fact, as a key leading, I mean, as a roadmap for us tonight. And it's there's nothing better than the Gospel of John chapter 16. And I'm like to read from John chapter 16, verse 17 to 24. And it's really, to me, that particular section of Scripture, John 16, verse 17 to 24. Actually, we can start from 14 or so on. But nevertheless, it's to me, it's just like a road map, or I call it a journey of life. Actually, every single one of us, regardless of where we come from, where we live, what we do for a living, or whatnot, everything that we do, everything that we face every single day and live throughout the day, it's a journey. So, and let's go through that. Does anybody mind read through verse 17 to 24 for me, please? Yes, please.
From verse 17. So some of his disciples said to one another, "What is this that he says to us, 'A little while, and you will not see me, and again a little while, and you will see me, and because I am going to the Father'?" So they were saying, "What does he mean by 'a little while'? We do not know what he is talking about." Jesus knew that they wanted to ask him, so he said to them, "Is this what you are asking yourselves? What I meant by saying, 'A little while you will see me, you will not see me, and again a little while you will see me'? Truly, truly, I say to you, you will weep and lament, but the world will rejoice. You will be sorrowful, but your sorrow will turn into joy. When a woman is giving birth, she has sorrow because her hour has come. But when she has delivered the baby, she no longer remembers the anguish for joy that a human being has been born into the world. So also you have sorrow now, but I will see you again, and your hearts will rejoice, and no one will take your joy from you. In that day you will ask nothing of me. Truly, truly, I say to you, whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he will give it to you. Until now you have asked nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive, that your joy may be full.
Thank you very much. It's basically, this is a roadmap for us. I'm basically sharing with you tonight, us is meaning the ministry that God is basically given to us to serve him and known as Transform Asia. So our mission is, the whole mission called Transform Asia. And Transform Asia basically used this particular scripture as a roadmap for our mission. And I use it over and over and over, and I read it over and over, and every time I read it, I got more excited. And actually, you look at this scripture, and you see that it sounds foolish in somewhat. You know, if you're talking about this is the communication, the conversation between the Lord Jesus Christ and his grown-up disciple. They're not a little kid. They're not 5-year-old or anything. And sources said the youngest, you know, the Apostle John, probably at least 14, if the source was right. So 14 is old enough to basically understand the term in a little while, right? But here in this scripture, it sounds like kind of silly that this grown-up disciple said, hey, Lord, we don't know what you mean by saying in a little while. It's really sound silly. I remember when my son and daughter, when they was little, actually they're grown up now, but when they was little tiny, my daughter was like 2 years old, barely learned to talk, and my son was five and a half. And every time they're a little crampy, they're not happy because my wife and I is busy doing Bible study or other thing. You know, kid, they can sit still for a few minutes and then they won't be able to stay still anymore. And when they do that, and you know, one of the key my wife and I used to calm them down is that, you know what, kid, in a little while we're going to go to McDonald's. And as soon as they hear, yay, and they quiet, you know, we tell them to quiet, this is another 30 minutes or so. But they know exactly what we meant, but in a little while, we're going to go McDonald's, all right, kid, just calm down, just a few more minutes. And they all got excited. But here the scripture said, the disciple, 12 grown-up men, have no clue what the term in a little while means. So here what I see in this scripture is that life is a journey. To reach our destiny, we must start our first step somewhere and somehow. You know, in order for us to go out to the street, we can't just get out to the street. We have to start somewhere, the first step, and second, and the third, and the fourth, and the fifth, leading us toward the street, let alone to go a little further. And our life doesn't go just from here to the street. It's go a lot longer. So we have to start somewhere. To fulfill our entire life journey, we will require a lot of steps. Basically, I don't know, countless steps. My life, I'm 55 now, so I don't know. If I had to sit down and count every step that I walk, I don't know how many million steps I took. And but it's require a lot of steps. So the question is this, can we walk or take a step by ourselves without an assistant? Of course, sometimes we can do that. We don't need anybody to help us. We just do it. We're able to do it. But at a time, we will desperately need help from others. Say if we got sick, or in my case, I got broken leg. Both of my leg was broken. It's a miracle I stand here and talking to you without crutches. I've been on crutches for more than 10 years. It was not like I play sport. It's not like I do some foolish thing or ride bicycle or anything that my mom and dad tell me not to do and I done it. No. Actually, coincidentally, the dictator come into my country in 1975 and then enslaved us. So I become a slave in the age of 16 and a half. And by the time I was about 17 in 1976, the Khmer Rouge start torture me and bury me alive and up to my chest. And then, you know, they just beat me, broke both of my foot. Actually, so if I pull and show you, there's a lot of scar there. Actually, a bunch of my friend who's an orthopedic surgeon told me since I was 21, they say, you need to have surgery for knee recap, or all this wonderful plan, surgical plan they have for me. You need to do this, you need to do that, you need to replace this bone, that bone, in order for you to basically mobile. I say, no, sounds good, but I don't like surgery. I have a doctor that's better than you guys. And he was kind of upset with me, and I said, you know, I have Dr. Jesus, who can fix me without going through those operations. I've gone through that already when there's been torture. So, in that circumstances, in that particular time, even in the killing field of Cambodia, I was a slave, but nevertheless, I still need assistance to continue my journey. Praise God, the Khmer Rouge, who would torture me and do all the damage to my life and my physical body, end up being the one who carried me back and forth. And my job, I was not like a free ride for the rest of the time from 1976 to 79. So actually, 76 to 77, I was not able to walk, so I become crippled. So, but they use me, and every bit that they can, mainly make me to boil their water. So my main job, boil the water and sing their, what they known as pediatric song. I mean, the song that honor the communist Khmer Rouge. You know, I have to learn how to sing those songs very well. I'm not a singer to begin with, but by God's grace, I was able to sing, and it pleased to their ear. So I boil water for them, and I sing that song over and over, like 10 different songs. When I finish it, and I start it all over again, sing all day. It's better than go work in the field. So just singing. So, but I can't go get firewood, so that somebody have to bring firewood for me, because that's part of life. Life, you know, of course, sometimes we can do it by ourselves, but other times we will desperately need help from others. Who will be the best helper for our life journey? You know, we can ask that question. And could it be a friend? Could it be a family? Could it be a husband? Could it be a wife? Our children? Our parent? It is always good to consult friend, family for help. But the question is this, can they do it all for us? I mean, that's another thing. Well, she's my wife. She have to do it. Well, she may want to do it, but can she do it all for you? Can we rely on them? Can we rely on them without ourselves? How about the expert? Sometimes, you know, when we walk on our journey in life, we need an expert. And sometimes we say, well, if we got in trouble, the expert out there, they can help us. Well, yes and no. Are they out there to answer all of our questions? Those PhD, those experts, those doctors, those surgeons, those pastors perhaps included? some of you may think, well, if I have any problem, Kevin have all the answer. He's my pastor. I don't think so. He may have some answer for you, but not all the answer. Of course, God, the only one that have the answer, he can seek for that. And that's what a lot of my people in Cambodia, they think Sitan have all the answer. And they don't even believe I have problem. As a matter of fact, it's sad. They think me and my wife have no problem. That's a sad part, because they don't know. Christianity is so new to our land, so therefore they think, because we bring the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ, who died on a cross at Calvary 2,000 years ago on our behalf, and we preach, and we were so happy, we're so excited, and they know our testimony, they know my foot is completely broken, and I'm still walking. As a matter of fact, I did some marathon. I ran the race with this kind of foot, and I didn't win, but I ran the race. I go 10 kilometers, ran with everybody out, catch my breath. But I'm okay. And they thought, wow, this guy's great. God whom he follow and believe, give him an incredible power and an incredible anointing. Therefore, he have no problem. I wish I don't have problem. I live in this sick world, so problem is always there. But people don't, you know. I seem like I'm come here to make you feel sorry for me. And me and my wife, actually, we feel sorry for ourselves a lot of time in Cambodia. Because our people, even the pastor that I work with, they come with their problem, all kind of problem, every day. Now with the technology, cell phone, what we know as cell phone, even in the middle of nowhere, they have cell phone. They phone me asking for answer. And I seem to be able, according to the scripture, look through the scripture, seem to be able to help them with it. And then they thought, hey, you have no problem. Sometimes when I phone them back and I say, can you pray for me and Rhonda? We have this problem. Oh, they laugh. They just laugh. They just have a good time. Oh, why are you kidding us? You don't have problem. But what they don't understand, that the scripture make it very clear that life is a journey. And here, Jesus was comparing our journey into a woman who's in labor. It's really incredible what he used. I don't know here in England, the culture here, so I'm so new to England. So forgive me, I may not know everything here. I mean, I don't claim to know everything anywhere. But I don't know a lot of things here. Sorry, I have to take this off. It's getting hot. Usually I'm cold, but hot today. In Cambodia, for those, especially those of you female here who have children or expect to have children, you probably appreciate this. In Cambodia, when a woman is in labor, you know the expression they use, that's she crossing the river. She's crossing the river. That's a term. They're not using the term, my wife is in labor. They're not using the term, my daughter in labor, or my sister in labor, or anything like that. But they will use the term, my wife, my daughter, my mom, crossing the river. You know why? Because in Cambodia, there's a Mekong Delta there. It's huge, big river. It's very strong. And in the old day, any time you cross from one side to the other side of the river, it's very dangerous, quite dangerous. More than 50% of the time, people didn't make it because it's a little canoe going across that strong wind and the strong water stream in the Mekong Delta. So if anybody got across, it's a blessing if they get there safely. So that's why women use a term when they in labor crossing the river, because it's a dangerous journey. You may not think now with the technology, you know, you couldn't do it naturally. You can always do C-section. You can always do this and that. But to me, it doesn't matter. It's still dangerous. It's a dangerous journey. If you go back to Genesis, you know, when our forefather Adam and Eve fall into sin, you know. You see what the woman will get from God and what man will get from God. You know, you have to work in the sun, under the sun to support the family, and the woman have to go through pain during her labor. So, and it's interesting that Jesus is using here that our life is a journey like a woman is in labor. You know, it's basically, it's not always easy. Especially, you know, I worked for the medical department and the health department in America for 10 years. And I'm dealing with a lot of delivery. And I also work as a paramedic. You know, I've was working in ambulance services and people call 911, somebody's in labor. As a matter of fact, I deliver more than 100 kid baby in the ambulance before they get to the hospital. And you know, I know it all. And I always tell the joke in America. I said, you know what, you American woman, when you're in labor, you scream out of your lungs. American women scream so hard. And then sometimes they curse their husband, because of you, I hate you, don't come near me, I hate you. Ooh, ooh. I hear that, I'm not making it up.
And then when the Asian patient come, man, the lady, they bit their tongue. Well, when they pain, they bit their tongue. And then sometimes the doctor have no idea, the nurse thought they okay, and then when they come, the baby is there. I mean, so, you know, because Asian been trained, you know, just, you know, don't scream, don't yell. And then, but the American woman, they don't care who tell them. When they're in pain, they scream, especially their husband. Man, that poor guy. He tried to be helpful, you know. Honey, can I do something? No, you go away. I don't like you. Yeah, and I've seen that. But as soon as that little precious child coming out, man, she forgot everything. You see a huge smiling face from those ladies. And then she beginning, honey, come, I want to give you a kiss. You know, that's already cursed him, like the first 2-3 hours. I mean, poor guy. I mean, man, she welcomed me more than their husband. You know, kick husband out because of you, you know. But, you know, that journey is tough. I'm not a woman, but I can feel it. I see it. I mean, it's tough. It's tough. And so she have every reason to scream and yell and say negative thing about her husband. But when that precious little one come, wow, it's beautiful. We forget everything. She still sweat and everything, but it's bleeding all over and everything. But man, the joy is coming. So that's what Jesus said, you know, journey in life. Especially walking side by side with Jesus. He's not promised it's going to be all smooth paved road. If you come to my country in Cambodia, I promise we don't have all the beautiful paved road like you have here in England. So enjoy it. You go over there, you know. Sometimes some places that we go, especially the last stronghold of the Khmer Rouge when I first went out there, the motorcycle right in front of me, you know, was being escorted by that 2-3 motorcycle that was Khmer Rouge soldier, teenage soldier, was escorted in the front and the back with gun and everything because I was like criminal going to see the general. And anyway, the guy in front, all of a sudden, as soon as I turned off the road a little bit, I turned straight back to the front, they disappear. I thought, oh my Lord, where have they been? Because there's like 4 million landmines along the road. And if we go a little wrong stuff, I mean, we can hit the landmine and I'd be dead meat. So I don't want to lose those guys who's direct us up front. And then oftentimes during that road is a military path, so I look up front and I couldn't find those guys. It was disappear. And then all of a sudden, here they come, because they're in the deep pothole. I mean, the pothole is taller than you tall people out there. And you just disappear. And then all of a sudden, they just come back up. And then it's their turn. When they look back, we disappear, because we go through the pothole. And those potholes, every time you go through, you pray double hard, because you know for the fact there's a lot of landmine out there. You know, when the rain come and the landmine just kind of move with the flow, and you don't know where they at, because in those potholes was filled with water. So you come back up, the water is about this high and you're full of mud. And I'm not talking dry road. It's a wet pothole and muddy. But every time we come up to the dry ground, man, we just smile. Wow, we made it. But then we're going to go to another one. Another one, another one. But every step of the way, as soon as we got up from those potholes, we just look at each other. Yes, we made it. All right. But then finally, after a 17-hour journey, I made it. I made it to see the general. But then there's another challenge right there. Because I've been told by the Khmer Rouge soldier is that you have to know this, sir. Comrade, actually, they addressed to me as comrade. If our general liked you, you're going to walk our life. But if our general don't like you, somebody have to carry you out dead. That was the message. And that was my journey. But I sent a calling of the Lord to go. Not like I say when I got that appointment, I just screamed, hallelujah, praise the Lord, I got to go see the general. No, actually, you know, I have to admit to you, when I received the phone call that the general of the Khmer Rouge expecting me, you know what it is? I've been praying for over 10 years that God will open door for me to see the Khmer Rouge leaders in some capacity, so I will bring them nothing but the good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ and the power of forgiveness. Because they continue to civil war in our country, children, family continue to die and suffer. So I thought, well, it's about time for somebody to stand up with the gospel and meet this guy. The only way to change those guys' heart is Christ, Jesus, and he himself alone. So when I got a phone call and said, the general expecting you tomorrow, and you will be escorted by several Khmer Rouge soldiers, man, you know what, I'm about to drop that phone from my hand. You know what my reaction, the first thing come to me? I just say, Lord, you know, maybe not me, somebody out named Sitan. Maybe some, you just called the wrong number, God. Why don't you call the right Sitan and let him go? I'm not going. You know why? Because I lived through the killing field for 4 years, like hell. And I know what the Khmer Rouge will do. You know, they already tortured me, I told you earlier. So anyway, this time I basically, in agony, I was not saying hallelujah, praise God, and claim I'm a super Christian or whatnot. No, I was just Sitan. Just my sin has been forgiven by Christ. Just if anything happened to me now, I just like me go to sleep here on earth and wake up, open my eye in heaven. I know that. And I really 100% believe on that. But yet still, humanly speaking, I'm still Sitan. So I was scared. Actually, I pray. I say, God, if you can change that, please. You know, I don't want my wife to become a widow. I don't want my children to become orphan. I don't want the church to go without a shepherd. And meanwhile, I start dialing the number to all the pastors in the country of Cambodia, anyone that I know, to please pray for me. And I told them this exciting news. You guess what? Please don't misunderstand me. It's almost like the book of Acts when the Apostle Paul told them to go to a certain place in the church. Say, no, don't go, please don't. Same thing happened to me. When I phoned those pastors in Cambodia to pray for me that I'm going to go, I have an appointment. Man, they said, don't go, please. And some were screaming and begging me not to. And when I still say I'm going to go, and they got mad at me. I said, you can tell everybody to pray for me except for my wife and my family back in America. Tell them, please don't tell them that I'm doing this. The first 2 weeks from today until the next 2 weeks, if you hear anything from me, praise God. If you don't hear anything from me from now and the next 2 weeks, I'm going to be waiting for you upstairs. So I'm basically prepared for the worst. But that's part of journey, life journey. I'm not suggest that you all going to go through what I go through. But we all have to go through some kind of pothole in life. It doesn't matter. I remember one time I was privileged to be invited by a church in outside of Philadelphia, America. They know that I was happened to be in America, so they phoned my office, and my office gladly arranged for me to go and speak in one of the church. When I arrived in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, the airport in Harrisburg, which is the capital of Pennsylvania, I didn't even know that. I thought Philadelphia. But Harrisburg is just a small little town, but it was the capital for that state. So I flown there, and then I saw a young man, it's about his age, coming like this, and a paper like this, and it's written, welcome, Dr. Lee. And he just stood there. You know, I don't know who's waiting for me, and I've been directed that somebody going to wait for me at the airport. And that's about his age. A good, handsome-looking young boy, just standing there, dressed up pretty nice. Welcome, Dr. Lee from Cambodia. And I just, introduce myself. I approach him and introduce myself. Hi, I'm Sita. Nice to meet you. Thank you very much. Come pick me up. He said, Dr. Lee, I'm so glad that I have an honor to come and get you. And then he said, just follow me, sir. And I just follow him. You know, I got a carry-on luggage, and I follow him. And I was looking for a car park. You know, that's where I'm looking for. But this guy doesn't lead me to the car park. He's leading me to another terminal. And I said, oh. And then I thought he was lost because he's quite young. So I said, young man, can I talk to you? He said, yes, sir. And he smiled to me. It's very nice. I said, are we going the wrong place? He said, no, sir. No, we're going to the right place. I said, where are we going? Look like we're going to those little terminal for the little tiny plane there. He said, yes, sir. You know what, sir? I'm excited to tell you this. I'm 14 and a half. And this is the first time I'm going to fly that Cessna without my instructor. Oh, my. I'm going to take you to the town. You like that? 14 and a half. And he said, I just got licensed. And I'm excited. This is the first time I'm flying without instructor. I'm going to take you there. We're going to have a good time. I said, oh, my Lord. Oh, what are you doing to me, God? I mean, hey. Oh, we wait another hour before the control tower allow us to take off. And that hour, I really do nothing but pray. I mean, I'm getting closer to God ever. And he just keep coming to me, sir, are you happy? I'm looking forward to this. I can't say no. I don't want him to get upset. Because we're going to be up there together. So we got into a little Cessna. Man, that thing started. And then he gave me all that wonderful headset and everything. So I hear everything, the control tower talk. And then himself. Guess what? We took off good. I said, yes, good. And he said, sir, it's about 45 minutes. We'll get there. We're going to have a good time. And as soon as we hit the altitude and the turbulent beginning to happen, and we go like this. I mean, just like flying a little kite. And the guy got panicking. And then guess what he's doing? I keep saying, are you okay? He said, yes, sir, I'm okay, but it doesn't sound okay to me. I mean, no instructor there. And just the two of us, and I know nothing about plane, all right? I can't help him. But I know Jesus, that's all I know. And I know that boy knows Jesus too. So, and then guess what? He said, you pray, okay, sir? So I said, yes, I am praying. And then, you know what? He tried to say this. He tried to comfort himself and myself. During that turbulent, you know what he said? Sir, you remember the DOT? I said, what is that DOT? What do you mean? Oh, Department of Transportation. He said, DOT, sometimes they fix some pothole, but sometimes they don't. So there's some pothole out there down on the ground. So it's also a pothole up here in the air. The DOT didn't fix. That's what he said. I said, why you say that? He said, I try to comfort myself. I go, I hope we're going to make it. Man, the next 25, 30 minutes, we made it. But before we land, you know what he said? He said, sir, I never landed by myself before. My instructor always do a good job. He's really the one who do it. But today I'm going to do it. And I don't like it. It was raining. And he just, man, I never land the plane that hot before in my lifetime. I'm on a plane all the time, but not ever that hot. I mean, he just hit, bang! And the fly just go back up in the air, bang, 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 bang. Like four or five times. Woo! So that's, you know, I changed my sermon the next Sunday. That was Saturday. Actually, the sermon was the love of Christ. Very peaceful. Then the sermon the next day was completely different. The turbulent. That's what I was talking about. In life, So it's really the church appreciate that because they're so comfortable for so many years. They never really, the preacher just enjoy preaching about the peace of God and all that wonderful stuff, but nothing ever really challenged in the sense of turbulent. So this time I spoke about turbulent. And man, that's part of life. That's what Jesus is talking about here in John. In John, basically, he's talking about journey of life. It's not easy. But when you reach your destiny, that's beautiful. Just like the baby coming, when the woman delivered that child, that precious child is coming, then it's all beautiful, all over. You forget about everything else, but you enjoy this new creature. And same thing, you know, our life, we're going to face that challenge. Whether you want it or not, we all going to do it, one way or the other. But take heart. Jesus said, now it is time for us to ask God to direct our life journey. In John 16:21, until now you have not asked anything in my name. Ask, you shall receive. I mean, don't think we can do it ourselves. I know for the facts. I talked to university like last night, you know. I thought I have all the plan for my life. But actually, that plan never become reality. But God, the good news in Jeremiah 29:11, God said, I know the plan I have for you, declare the Lord. Plan to prosper you, not to harm you. Plan to give you hope and future. That's really beautiful. And that's what I like the most about taking a journey step by step alongside with God. That's the best part. That's the best and the beautiful part. Regardless of your age, regardless of what. It's sad in my country, it's a Buddhist country. A lot of young people said no, you know, because they've been taught that way in the Buddhist temple. So when you're getting older, then you're beginning to practice religion, preparing yourself for the future. But you know you're going to live another day tomorrow. You think you're going to reach 50, you think you're going to reach 60, or 70, or 80, however. No, you don't. My brother died when he was 19. My two sisters died when they was like 17, 18. And, you know, we don't know. We don't know. My nephew died when he was 18. You know, in America. Enjoy the swimming, and he drowned. So we never know. We never know what's going to happen. I'm not saying that we all going to die soon, but all I know is that we have to follow every step of the way of our life on our journey, follow Christ and let him direct our life. That's the best way to do it. He's our navigator for our life, and he can direct us. And that's what we show in the film here. You know, every step of the way that we do, we follow what he's leading us to do. Some of the ministry in America is here in the West. You know, when I come to meet them for the very first time, good thing that Kevin didn't ask me. A lot of pastors in this country or America will ask me, did you have a 5-year plan? You have a 10-year plan for your mission. Can we see those paper? Who is writing it? They want to know the name who wrote the plan. And, you know, if the well-known person, they say more likely going to join venture with us. But if the person who put the plan together is not well-known, they're not too sure. And I'm glad to tell them. I say, I really don't have any 5-year plan, but I do have a complete life plan. And I show them my Bible. I say, this is the plan. It's written by God. And that's the one I follow. Because the Women's Center was not on our agenda. The David Orphanage Center that you saw was not on our agenda. Trade Center was not in our agenda. The Feeding Center that Transform Asia is doing is not in our agenda. None of those is in our agenda. But if we minister, evangelize to people, and then we met people from different walk of life, and we saw their need, we try to meet that need according to the grace of God. So thank you very much, and I think that's all I want to share tonight.